Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going.
It's lights out, away we go. Bottas in the second phase looks to stutter a little bit, but Verstappen is not coming alongside him. It's Bottas that leads from Verstappen, and then, oh, comes Sir Charles Leclerc, and that's a spin for Fernando Alonso at turn one, and he's lost plenty of places, comes back in about 15th place. Not the start that Alonso would have wanted.
Perez seems to have that straight line speed advantage over Hamilton. Hamilton, though, close enough now to be picking up the slipstream of the Red Bull in front, and Hamilton gaining as the wheels turn round, and now goes wheel to wheel with Sergio Perez. And does he pass Sergio Perez? Under braking, he gives the Red Bull a wide berth just in case. He knows that he can make this move stick in the next few corners. He pushes Sergio Perez almost into the pit lane entry. Perez is not going to give this one up without a fight, and they are almost level pegging as they start the next lap. Hamilton's got better acceleration as down towards turn one we go. Has Hamilton got up into fourth place? No, he's not. Sergio Perez on the inside regains the place that he might have lost by millimetres a few hundred metres before.
Box, box, box. Why? New inset is the way to go. Under threat.
I don't think it is, man.
Yeah, it's a tricky one now. I personally think he has to stay out.
Valtteri Bottas is on the inside. Leclerc just makes way, I think, there. Doesn't fight that. Valtteri Bottas retakes the lead of this Turkish Grand Prix. He's back out in front. Hamilton's coming in for a pit stop. Leclerc goes through, Perez goes through. I'm watching Gasly coming down the main straight now as Hamilton gets to the end of the pit lane, 80 kilometres an hour. Now he can get his foot down. Now he can get onto the racetrack and ahead then of Pierre Gasly, but down in fifth place.
So Gasly at three behind.
Man, why'd you give up that space?
Looks like we were going to lose the position anyway.
From pole position, Valtteri Bottas can now make it to the final corner to see the checkered flag, and Bottas crosses the line to win the Turkish Grand Prix. It has been a commanding performance, and that will give him a huge cheer as he leaves Mercedes at the end of this season and heads off to Alfa Romeo. Behind him, though, Max Verstappen comes home to finish second where he started in this race, and that race will do nicely for Verstappen as he increases his championship lead over Lewis Hamilton.
This is the Outlap F1 podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 44 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is the Turkish Grand Prix Race Review. I am your host, James, along with my wonderful co-host, Andy. We have Deanna and John, both with a little bit of PTO tonight, Andy. Oh, and before I hand it to you, I have a couple qualifiers. One, my voice is very nearly gone. I was at the Iowa-Penn State game afternoon. And this voice helped cause 8 false start penalties by Penn State because I was screaming pretty much the whole game, and I'm feeling it today. Let's see what else we got. We're going to be very distracted, you especially. The White Sox are in the middle of a playoff game right now. I think
by the time I finish the post show edit, it might be over. I don't know. I think it's going to be up, and it may be 2 a.m. I'll be tweeting about the show being up. And then the end of this baseball game, because at this rate, we're only in the fourth inning. Baseballs are 9-inning games, if you don't know. And they've been playing for 2.5 hours. So this is nuts.
See, like right now, all the English fans are like, test cricket last 7 days. What are you guys bitching about?
Yeah, exactly.
2.5 hours, 4 innings. That's nothing. let's see, other qualifiers. Well, I had to watch the race this morning on an iPad while doing some work stuff. So I only got to half pay attention to the race. It was a pretty good one. And I think that's about all we have for tonight. So now that all the excuses are out of the way, Andy, how you doing tonight? You look to be on the edge of your seat watching this
game. Well, this game is going to be crazy, and it's already gone back and forth. But other than that, I mean, it's been a ridiculously busy day in sports in this country. It's been a ridiculously busy weekend. Congratulations to one Tyson Fury, best boxing match I have seen in a long, long, long time. So congratulations to him.
Oh, yeah.
To those out in the UK. And you know, full heart to Deontay Wilder, man. That was, like I said, just the craziest boxing fight I've seen in a long, you know, forever.
I used to root for Wilder more than I did until his last couple fights against Tyson Fury, but like my respect for him just has shot through the roof. Just the beating he took and just
kept coming
back for more.
I mean, that's
that was an incredible heavyweight title fight. So we'll see what happens there next. But yeah, crazy, crazy, crazy sports weekend all over the place. All kinds of exciting things. College football is crazy. And Formula One had a pretty good race this morning. A little subdued, I think, for what we could have expected from a wet race. But we'll get into all that in just a minute. Before we do, I got to remind everybody, you can find us all over social media on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can always check out our link tree on our Twitter profile for all of those links. You can email the show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. Of course, we have our awesome website at www.outlapf1.com, where you'll find all of our past episodes and all of our tweets, where you can especially find the F1 for Beginners episode, which was season 3, episode 6. There, if you're a new fan, you can find out how everything within F1 works, team strategies, how the calendar breaks down, soup to nuts, everything you could possibly need to continue growing as an F1 fan. Most likely was spurned by Drive to Survive. So then you can also check out our About Us page and some of our other episodes, including Saberquick Interviews, season 2, episode 2, and season 3, episode 21. And then our normal co-host, Deanna, she has her Relapped YouTube channel that you can check out. I don't know if we're going to get one for Turkey. I know she's out of town. If so, that'd probably be a little late, but make sure you keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, she tweeted this morning that even though she's actually doing some live sport herself, she was at the Roval in Charlotte with her family, I think, this morning or this afternoon. So taking in a little NASCAR, but she said she would have a reaction to Turkey sometime later, probably when she gets home and gets to her fancy new computer and can pop that out.
Nice. Yeah, I don't even know if John's actually gotten to watch the race yet. I think he's out of town as well, doing some anniversary stuff with the wife. So hopefully he's having a good time with all that. And then, of course, I have to mention the Outlap F1 Nation stepping up. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. All that goes right back into the show to give us nice, fancy things like some cool sound effects. And I think we'll get some more a little bit later tonight. So if you want to join the nation, you can check out. There's an anchor link in our show description where you can donate $1, $5, $10, whatever you want. It's a monthly donation or a one-time one. So we're grateful for everyone we get, and we do put that right back into the show. And then, of course, you can check out Manscaped, manscaped.com, to get 20% off and free shipping by using code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, all one word. All right. Now that that's all out of the way, Andy, what is your headline of the day?
Three little words: decisions, decisions, and decisions. It really, I think, kind of bore down to a race of decisions: when to take your pit stop, if you took your pit stop, and you know how long you could run on those inners, because they were doing some weird things. So it was all about the decision making today.
Yeah, I think mine is the never drying track that is Istanbul Park. Somehow the track was drying for 2 hours, yeah, and yet was never actually dry. So pretty wild there. All right, so let's get into our qualifying recap. Andy, take it away.
All right, so there were a bunch of post-qualifying penalties, but before that, this is how they all actually qualified. So in P20 was Nikita Mazepin, P19 Kimi Raikkonen, P18 Antonio Giovinazzi, P17, Nicholas Latifi, and P16, Daniel Ricciardo. Going through to Q2, but going no farther. P15 was Carlos Sainz. He did not set a Q2 time due to some engine penalties. However, he did make an appearance kind of late in the qualifying session, and we'll talk about that in a minute. P14, Mick Schumacher in the Haas, legit on pace, into Q2. Well done, Mick. Nice to see you doing that. P13, Mr. Saturday, George Russell, was looking like he was going to get into Q3, but did not. He went off on his last lap in Q2, and he ended up getting that lap time, and that was kind of the end of his qualifying effort. P12 was Esteban Ocon, and P11 was Sebastian Vettel. The top 10 from 10 to 1, P10, Yuki Tsunoda, P9, Lance Stroll, P8, Lando Norris, P7, Sergio Perez, P6, probably the star of qualifying, if you ask me, Fernando Alonso, P5, Pierre Gasly, P4, other star of qualifying, if you ask me, was Charles Leclerc, especially given the setup he chose, P3, Max Verstappen, P2, Valtteri Bottas, and in P1, he did not start there, but that's where he qualified, with a lap time of 122.868, Lewis Hamilton.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Yeah. Charles Leclerc looked strong. I didn't get to watch the practice sessions all the way through, just the highlights, but he looked strong with that new Ferrari power unit all weekend. That he was holding pace with the top dogs pretty much all weekend. So that was very nice to see. I think I actually texted you guys that I was actually really disappointed that we were going to get rain. So I want to see that thing unleashed to its full potential. So hopefully we can see that in a couple weeks time in person.
Yeah. No, I mean, he looked good. He did. Take advantage of a nice toe from his teammate, who they sent him out at the end of Q2. But hey, that's what good teams do, and they managed to pull it off. So mm-hmm. It got him definitely through to Q3, and you know, fair play. So I mean, that's how you do it. So well done, Ferrari, for that. That was well executed.
Yes, sir. All right, so let's go ahead and move into the race now, and we will start with the back markers. And usually that means we start off with Nikita Mazepin, finishing in 20th after starting in 18th. Most notable part of his day was some just more nonsense with him under blue flags. Just real quick, what'd you think about that move he tried to pull on Hamilton there?
You know, again, it's just I don't understand why the FIA continues to let this go. And I've read several articles that Michael Massey says I have no problem with how he races. It's probably not how he races, but, you know, blue flags are there to be obeyed. And if you don't obey them and you're interfering with the leaders in a car that has no shot at doing that, why is that allowed to happen? That just doesn't make sense to me. Probably deserved a penalty for it, if you ask me. But again, nothing. This set of stewards didn't even get referred to them at this point. So,
yep. Yeah, he definitely deserved a penalty more than somebody who did get a penalty, but we'll get into that in a little bit. P19 with Mick Schumacher. He started 14th. Tough day for him. Kind of got taken out by Alonso there. Yep. I did see a picture on Twitter of Alonso giving him a hug post-race. So he clearly felt pretty bad about that. So some tough luck for Mick Schumacher, but finish ahead of Mazepin again.
Yeah, I mean, his star was able to shine on Saturday. Great qualifying lap, great effort on the intermediate tires to take a absolute crap car in what is that Haas and to get it into Q2. That's a flashpoint. That's what, you know, when you look at young drivers and you look at what can you take from a season like this, that's a flashpoint. That's something important. Great for Mick Schumacher to see.
Yep, good point there. Sebastian Vettel finished in 18th after starting 10th. I'll give him credit. He tried something. Tried the slicks there at the end. Did not work. But, you know, you got to try things sometimes. So I give him credit for that. And he did fall further behind Charles Leclerc. So I don't know if it's quite out of the realm yet. So I don't think John has to buy me that bottle of bourbon while we're in Texas, but we're getting pretty close.
I was going
to
say it's pretty damn close if it's not by now.
I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, I mean, the weird thing with the Vettel thing was I obviously that was not the right lap to even fathom that decision. I was shocked when I saw it, but what it ended up doing was I think it spooked everybody else from even especially mm-hmm. near the end of even thinking dry tire. And I was actually surprised that nobody, like even like somebody like on the outskirts of the points wouldn't have tried that, because what else would you have to lose? But I think they saw what, I think everybody saw what happened to Seb and said, oh no, I ain't doing that.
Yeah. And it's weird, like, especially in his situation too, we never like saw a full caution, you know, like
he had one double yellow flag for a minute, but he never stopped and he was able to keep going. He did go off a few times, but he was able to eventually get himself around and back to the pits. But that did ruin his race, obviously. So, you know,
And because I was looking at some of like the obscure bets before the weekend, and one of them was finishers, and it was like, you know, over 19 and a half finishers. I forget what the odds were. They were pretty tasty. But I was like, there's no way all three cars are finishing on a wet track. And sure as shit, they did.
Welcome to 2021. Where up is down, I mean, down is up. Dogs and cats are living together. It's crazy.
Yeah, we can't have had that many races this year that all 20 cars finished. Like,
there's been one other one, I want to say. Like, I'll go back and look, yeah. But I want to say there's only been like maybe one or one. I know it was a drive.
It feels like there haven't been many.
No, but I know there's at least been one other one because it was one where we had no safety cars or yellow flags or anything, and everybody finished. So.
Yeah. So then up next, we got P17, Nicholas Latifi, which I know I was like kind of half, my attention was kind of split in half, but I don't remember hearing his name once the entire race. So nothing to talk about there. Fernando Alonso in 16th. You said it, you're excited for him after qualifying, but just lap one, did him wrong, and then he was out.
Turn one, tried to make a move on the outside of, I think it was Gasly and... I think actually, and Perez, and basically ends up on the outside. Gasly has nowhere to go. Everyone else is just holding their line, and real estate runs out. Alonso gets clipped. He goes for a spin. And for whatever reason, on a wet track in turn one, on lap one, we think it's a good idea to give Pierre Gasly a 5-second penalty. Where he had nowhere to go, and he was not the culprit of being in that position. That was Fernando trying to make a move on the outside. You know, he rightly paid the penalty for trying that move. And that's racing. Why are we legislating that? Makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so shocked by that. Like, you know, they said it was, whatever the indicator goes up that it was going to be looked at or whatever. I'm like, I was expecting it just to say like no further investigation needed. And then when it said 5-second penalty, it's like, why is that?
Right.
It made zero sense. Right away, they played the onboard radio of Gasly, and he was like screaming that he got sandwiched, and he totally did. Like, I don't know how you put that on Gasly. I don't know.
It's 250 some meters from the start line to turn one. Where did you expect him to go? Explain to me, like, that's the thing. What in that makes it legal? Other than backing out of that entire situation, which he couldn't have done anyway because it was the first lap.
Yeah. And I think it was Jensen Button, I forget who mentioned it now on the broadcast, but towards the end of the race, they were talking about there was a really good battle of Alonso and Russell. Not good enough to show on TV, of course, but at some point they had a nice little battle. So I wonder if somebody can find some video of that and post that for us all to see. George Russell did finish in 15th, so the race – point scoring streak is over. but he's, I think a fair race. I didn't really hear much from him either. Besides that one comment, you got Yuki Tsunoda in 14th after starting at 9th. So that's definitely a disappointing day for him. Then your boy, Danny Ricciardo, down in P13 after starting 20th with an engine penalty, kind of disappeared again after a couple of races.
Well, I mean, it was the right decision, in my opinion, to take the engine penalty. I mean, you qualify 16th, move up to 15th with the signs issue. What have you got to lose? So you put a fresh engine, you give them all new elements, you start them way in the back. That's fine. He actually was the one that finally revealed what the correct strategy really was today, and that was to come in and pit, let your tires grain, and get through that grain because then you actually got really, really fast. But what ended up happening was he stayed out too long. When it finally happened and he got around Russell, he was able to get up, I think, as far as 11th and was challenging for points. However, then his tires went off and, you know, it was basically the rear tires. He had no grip in them, didn't have any confidence in it, and just kind of fell back down the order late. Tough weekend for him. Tough weekend for McLaren overall, I think, especially after the form they showed in the last two races.
Yeah, that race definitely tightened up with Ferrari. But as usual, Andy, excellent point there. And we did see that, like, with Leclerc, when he finally pitted for Inders, he came out, was faster a couple laps, and those things started to grain, and he lost pretty much all traction. And then it takes a while to get through that again, and then once you're good, you're good. But I think that's what hurt some of the guys that we'll talk about in a little bit here. But so we'll go ahead and move into the midfield now, where we find P12, Kimi Raikkonen, after starting in 17. So moving up five places.
Hey, I got my prop bet, or I got a bonus pick because of him.
So yeah, thank you, Kimmy. But yeah, I mean, I got the good race for him, but no points. So not too much to write home about there. Antonio Giovinazzi, same deal, started in 16th, finished in P11. So moving up five spots as well. So I'd say a pretty good day for Alfa Romeo in terms of moving up the grid, but still not in the points. Oh, and something I actually forgot to talk to you about in the pre-show, but I can't read Spanish, but it seemed to be a lot of rumors floating around Twitter from some Spanish articles. I think it was Spanish, about Andretti potentially being part of a group that buys Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger story for Alfa Romeo was the potential off-the-track events. It is said that Michael Andretti and Andretti Racing are primed to take approximately an 80% stake, which would be a controlling share of the Swiss outfit Alfa Romeo Sauber. What that happens now to 2022 in that second seat, now that throws that all way up into all sorts of stuff. We are more than likely going to get an announcement at the COTA weekend. That would make sense from a marketing perspective to do it. It's also interesting, Andretti Jr., who we actually saw when we were in St. Louis, Kyle Kirkwood, was not on the national broadcast. He was slated to be a guest host, and then Andretti said no for this weekend, but we can talk to you at COTA weekend. So, things that, you know, just make you go, when I heard that in the car today as I was listening to the post-race, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I would expect some sort of an announcement. The hot rumor is, of course, who are now are the Andretti drivers in their stock? Well, they have Alex Rossi, who's raced in F1. They have Colton Herta, who's probably the prime suspect, people that certain team principals in a question that I actually posed to one of them at one point, actually answered it and said that was the American he was looking at. So, hey, let's look, you know, that would be an obvious choice. They're said to be backing from Gainbridge. The question for me, if you're going to go with Colton Herta, is do you do 2022 or do you do 2023? I personally think he needs a year to get used to the Pirellis. I would rather him do F2 with an obvious slate for 2023. That's the path I would go if I was doing it, because it's a completely different animal over here than what he's used to in IndyCar.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Like, the Colton Herta name was popping up as well. I could read that in Spanish because it's the same English and Spanish. So that was helpful. I was like, Andretti, don't understand, Herta. Okay, I think I get it now. But yeah, that would be super exciting. I mean, what a wave to ride to get an American owner into F1, as all these American fans are coming on as fans of F1. That's why I think they would rush Herta right into F1, because I think they try and capitalize on that. Yeah, I mean, does he even have the super license?
Well, that's the other thing. He would have had to have won the championship, which he did not do, obviously, to qualify, because the Indy feeder system doesn't give you a lot of super license points, except if you win the championship. So that's an issue. So that's why I'm almost thinking, if he goes into F2 and acquires some super license points, now, he could also do some tests to also acquire that as well.
Isn't that only like a point for a test, and you can only get like a max?
Yeah,
or something,
I mean, you can't test your way into a seat. You do have to get some actual racing experience. So, I mean, to me, if they were going to make the acquisition now, that's why I'm saying I think it makes sense for a year in F2 or F3. Let him get used to the tires, used to the racing in Europe. Different. It's more preservation of assets versus balls out racing. And we all know Colton Herta is great at the balls out racing. we've seen that live, even in Nashville. Sometimes he takes it a little too far. But yeah, I mean, that to me is the path. And that then opens up, do you then take the $30 million from the Chinese government? You know, we make an acquisition that costs money. Well, here's €30 million to make it a little less painful.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that'll be definitely something we pay attention to. The timeline really fits in well. Like, oh, the USGP start is coming up in a couple weeks. Like, is that when this news is going to get announced? So that could be very, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I would say watch our Twitter anytime. Not this next week, obviously, but the week after, starting on Tuesday. It could be announced as early as Tuesday, Wednesday. More than likely Thursday is when it's going to actually come out, because that's media day.
Just let me correct what you said there, Andy. Always watch our Twitter follow, like, subscribe, whatever else you can do. Always ABCs, Andy. Always be closing, okay? All right, so now we got P10 into the points. Esteban Ocon. So something I didn't realize about Ocon during the race, because I didn't really talk about it. The only person that got shine on this was Lewis Hamilton and Leclerc for a minute. But some people were, like, talking about how legendary and epic it would be if Lewis Hamilton were to go the entire race on a set of tires. Well, somebody did do that, and that was Esteban Ocon. Somehow he only went up two spots because of it, but the man did make a pair of inches less the entire race.
To that point, he was approximately 4 seconds off of the normal race pace and was lucky to have held on to that 10th place at the end, but he did do it. He did finish it 58 laps on one set of tires, because it's a wet race. You don't have to come into the pits. So good on you, Esteban. So, I mean, he got a point because of it. It was the only point that Alpine got today.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't realize that was part of the rule. Like, I knew that you didn't have to use different compounds when it was declared a wet race or whatever, but I never thought of, like, oh, you just have that same set for the entire race. That was pretty interesting. You know,
you usually never end up in a situation where that even comes into play, but it was the heavy air, this particular track with the amount of grip. I mean, we went from an ice skating rink last year to something that was super grippy this year. And that then played into this entire equation of when were the tires in the right window and how do you make them work? Well, everybody got a kind of crash course in it today, and good for Esteban to make those things last. I did not think he was going to make it, but 4 seconds off, but still got a point because of it.
Hell yeah. All right, so then P9, we got Lance Stroll starting in eighth, finishing in ninth. He's usually pretty good in wet conditions, but another guy, I didn't really hear too much about him today, so we'll move right on to the man voted as driver of the day, Carlos Sainz. I'd say he had one hell of a race today.
Yeah, he was the king of the overtakers. It was moves all over the place. He looked incredibly strong. He looked like he was on another gear. I think, you know, the only thing that happened was he ran out of time. but coming from the back, obviously that fresh upgraded power unit looked pretty good in those conditions. Sainz generally does pretty well in tricky conditions anyway. So, I mean, it was kind of an optimum combination, and good to see him get some real TV time and voted driver of the day. You know, he's not hiding in the shadows anymore today. It's only eighth place, but that doesn't do – I don't think the result does what his race was justice, because he came through – passed a ton of people today.
Exactly. An eighth place, 4 points, just doesn't do justice to what his drive actually was today. And he even said it was one of his best races and probably his strongest with Ferrari, which I would probably totally agree with, which is weird to say.
Was setting eighth, multiple fastest laps and only got pipped by Bottas very much at the end.
Yeah, just another reason I'm, like, so excited to see these two Ferraris with their new power units on a dry track and just see what they could do. Will Cota be the right track for it? I guess we'll find out. I'm just hoping it's, like, heat wave, like 100-something degrees in Cota. I don't care if I'm sweating my ass off. I just want it as hot as possible. Give Ferrari all the advantages we can get. So he finished just behind your boy, Lando Norris. Started in 7, finished in 7, 6 points on the day. What'd you see? What'd you like? What did you like?
Well, I mean, it was just kind of a meh day, I think, for McLaren overall. I think wherever they were going to start was probably going to be where they were pretty much kind of pegged. Had some decent pace in stretches, but really was kind of a victim of what I would say the dirty air and then the tires going off probably a little earlier than with some others. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a charge. I mean, you think wet race and Lando Norris, and you're saying, okay, well, that may bring him back into play. It just really didn't materialize. According to the team, it was too many long radius corners, which was, you know, too much lateral load on the tires, I guess, today. It was just making it not work well. So, you know, kind of to be expected. I didn't expect them to do awesome here. And I guess that just kind of turned out. I think they'll be better at Coda. The track that I think is going to be interesting is Mexico, just with the really, really long straight. So see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so then P6, we got Pierre Gasly. Started in 4th, went a couple places back to P6. Ended up with 8 points. Another guy who's usually really good in the wet, so I was expecting a lot from him. But then the 5-second penalty kind of put him off on a bad foot to start the day. And it's just kind of frustrating start for him. We already kind of talked about the penalty, but I mean, just wasn't deserved.
No, not at all.
was expecting more out of him.
Yeah, and it just, it compromised. I mean, I think the pit stop ended up being like 9 seconds, and that's just a killer. I mean, we saw some, again, we saw this rule rear its ugly head with a couple of people again today, which just can...
I'm trying to think, who was it that had like the 8 second stop, and they like, they talked about it, but they really didn't. It was like weird.
And it was like, they were almost thinking that it was normal, and I'm like, no, that's not normal.
Yeah. Now it seemed like Red Bull got back on, especially with Verstappen.
2.1.
Yeah. And it, the best part though was the cameraman. I don't know if you've seen the shot on TV or they've memed it by now, but right after Verstappen stopped, they like the camera turned. You saw the cameraman crouching down. He's just like, yes. I was like, God, he's loving it.
Well, awesome. You work all weekend for that shot, and when you finally get it, you know, you're pumped. It's just as much as being there.
That for sure. That was a great scene. So now we'll move up to P5, the man finishing behind Charles Leclerc.
That's true.
Lewis Hamilton started in 11th, thanks to a 10th place grid penalty. Finishing P5 to get 10 points and to lose the championship lead with, what, 6 races to go? Correct me if I'm wrong there.
You are correct.
All right, so take me through Lewis's day. Some controversy, I guess we'll say, towards the end. Some disagreement with him and his team on the radio. But walk me through
Well,
that.
I mean, for the most part, this was Lewis coming through the field. He had gotten all the way, I think it was lap 34, lap 35, had this really, really fun battle with Sergio Perez where it was Red Bull versus Mercedes, corner to corner, inside, outside, both guys giving each other actually a little bit of space. It's interesting that Lewis even tried to force Leclerc or Perez into the pits. But I guess you were allowed to cross that line if you don't come in the pits. So I guess that turned out to be nothing. Wasn't even investigated, which fine. And I'm kind of glad that that happened because it would have ruined what was a great battle. But all throughout that last part of the lap, and Lewis did not make the pass at that point. So good on Perez for some mega defending. Eventually, Lewis did make his way up into the podium places. He was sitting third. We get to lap 42. Now, at this point, we've already kind of seen what the strategy was with the tires. And as we talked about earlier, it was to change them, get on a new set, let the graining that was happening after the first two laps happen, and get through it. So at lap 42, it's a 58-lap race. You still had plenty of time to have that process happen. Team calls Lewis in. He was running fourth at the time. Excuse me, not third, but fourth. And Lewis says, no, tires feel fine. I think we can maintain this pace. Sound familiar, right? You know, this sounds vaguely familiar from a couple weeks ago. Now the shoe being on the other foot, however. So Mercedes lets it go all the way up until lap 51 when they now become a lot more insistent. And now Lewis is coming in, pitting from third. Now there's only 7 laps left. Comes out in fifth. And, of course, what we all thought was going to happen happened. He's super fast on the first two laps. Looked like he was going to chase down Leclerc and make an easy pass. And then that graining hit. And because he didn't have enough time to really get through it, he wasn't able to reassert his pace. Fifth was as good as he was going to do. That was where he ended up finishing. I think it ends with him. I mean, you'll hear it in our highlight package, you know, at the beginning of our audio episode, how frustrated he was at the end of that race, probably through maybe. Now, it's hard to say. Would he have made 58 laps work? Well, we saw with Ocon, 4 seconds off the pace. He may have dropped like a stone. That may have been damage limitation at the end of it. But I think in the postmortem of this, if he comes in on lap 42, he's probably at least a position or two higher.
Yeah, I mean, it could have gotten a lot worse, I think, if they left him out there. He could have gotten passed by a few more guys, especially if he lost the pace like Ocon did, like you just said. It's kind of like the best case of a worst-case scenario for Mercedes here. He loses the championship lead, but if he wins in COTA, then he's going to be right back in first again. So it's not without reach at all. I wish they would have left him out there because I was really interested to see what was going to happen. I was obviously hoping for things to get interesting in that sense. But, you know, pretty strong race, I think, overall from him. He couldn't have asked for too much more, I don't think, with where he was starting. I think Mercedes did a pretty good job of limiting the damage of the new power unit.
Yeah, so, and now we have that mystery. That mystery has been solved. We don't have to keep talking about when is he going to take it. He's taking it. He's still got some other elements that he can still take and not incur any penalties. So, you know, the question is that Mercedes reliable enough now to get him to the end of the year?
Mm-hmm.
That becomes then the next question.
Yeah. And like, so he also got stuck behind Yuki Tsunoda for a little while early on in the race, which I thought was interesting, but I'm wondering if that was more just him trying to save the tires for the duration of the race early on, because that's something that he's really good at, is kind of planning big picture stuff further into the race. So I think that's all it was, but it was kind of interesting for a little while to see him stuck behind Yuki, and it really allowed the front runners to get out even further ahead and make it tougher for him later in the race. Speaking of which, Charles Leclerc did an excellent job early on, staying within like 2 seconds of everybody in front of him. With at the time, it was Verstappen, who was only a couple seconds behind Bottas. So just got me real excited with that for Leclerc. But he did start in third, finish in fourth, so did go a position back, but got a good 12-point haul on the day. So he's pretty much neck and neck now with Sainz. I think they're
0.5.
Now 116.
I think they're 0.5 apart.
Yeah, Leclerc, I think he's 116 and 116.5. So they're right there. A nice haul of points. Gets them real close to McLaren again. I meant to have that pulled up so I can look up
exactly
what the difference
is.
Seven and a half points now. So that's real close. It's going to be real interesting next weekend. Maybe me and you will have to do a little side bet or something. Something with a little video content involved. We can think of something. I'm sure it'll be involving drinking since we'll be in Austin, but we'll do something for sure. Maybe some barbecue mixed in. I don't know. But yeah, I was happy with Charles Leclerc's day. I got, you know, I'm not going to lie, towards the end, I started paying more attention to the race and less attention to the work as he was in first place. And things got a little interesting there. And then, of course, what's probably going to go down as kind of an iconic radio moment, at least for the season, when he's in first place and he's asking, you know, his engineer, like, what can I do here? Well, you know what? I think we were gonna play it later, but now I might as well play it now. I don't know why we didn't discuss just playing it during Charles Leclerc, but go ahead, play
right.
the radio
message.
Let's
see if my fancy button works.
If we stay at this pace, what are we looking for in terms of position?
If we can keep Bottas behind, P1.
Obviously, because you're leading the race, Charles. Not quite sure that was the most informative radio message I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's classic. That's an all-timer right there. Way to go, Ferrari Pitwall, answering the wrong question.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like such a basic question. Like, you know, if I maintain this pace, where am I going to end up? And it's like, well, if you stay in front of the guy in second place, you're going to finish in first. It's like, oh, thanks.
But it's also like a testament, and I can take it this way. I know you will disagree. But I think that's the haughty nature of Ferrari. Oh, of course we're going to win this race. We'd already done all the hard work. Of course we were going to do that. So why would we even entertain the thought of him not finishing any lower than second?
I wish the only thing I wish about it is that it wasn't Charles Leclerc. I wish it was Kimi Raikkonen, and they said that to Kimi because his response probably
yes. And we didn't hear what the response was. From Charles. I mean, I may go find the onboard and find what was said afterwards. But no, I mean, that was just that's classic Ferrari, if I could ever put it up right there. And that's, I think, but not, it was Bonato there this weekend or not?
I didn't see him.
Okay. Well,
he may have been. I kind of just like zone him out even when he does show up on TV. Piece of shit. But no, I mean, things seem to be in a good place for Ferrari right now. It'll be really nice if they can pip McLaren for third in the constructors. That'll be a huge, huge win, I think. But I really like the way things are going, especially with this new power unit. I obviously love Leclerc. I love Sainz. So I've got – my expectations are only getting higher and higher for next year as this season goes on. So,
yeah, I mean, it's the great unknown. I mean, that testing next year is going to be so fun because everybody's going to be trying to draw so many conclusions from stuff that really might matter or it really won't. That's what's so fun about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, in my sporting fandom life, I get really high expectations a lot, and they've worked out. I could probably count on one hand, so... I should be expecting disappointment, but you know, that's the fun of being a fan from time to time.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so we'll take a quick break, hear from our sponsor. When we come back, we'll talk about the podium finishers.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off, free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 44 of the Outlap F1 Podcast, where we're talking about the Turkish Grand Prix race review. A quick reminder, you can find us on all the social media sites, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can, of course, check out our link tree on our Twitter profile, where you'll find links to all of those socials. So make sure you check us out. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us a whatever it is on Discord that you do. I still don't understand that one, but I'll let John continue to take care of that.
Actually, Discord actually was pretty fun. There was a user, and I'm not going to give him the proper credit. But anyway, he hosted a live watch of the 2010 race, which I had forgotten that the two Red Bulls collided in that race and handed the win over to Lewis in the McLaren, into the Chrome McLaren, which took me back a long ways. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun place.
Nice. One of these days I'll download it and check it out. I promise. Yeah, maybe like a few more sponsors and I'll finally get on Discord. All right. So let's talk about the podium now. Third place, Sergio Checo Perez for a double podium for Red Bull. Started in sixth place, finished in third. Got 15 points, 15 good points for Red Bull, who are now still not quite close striking distance to Mercedes for the constructors. It's not quite out of reach yet either, but not feeling super confident about it. So,
well, it definitely makes it like you'd have to have almost still a Mercedes double DNF, and Red Bull have to score almost a 1-2 for them to overtake them. But this was not even in the realm before today. They're at least back in the outskirts of the conversation of maybe we have a constructors race, but we don't really know.
Yeah, yet. I'm hoping that we can get some kind of hex on Mercedes going into Mexico. They have reliability issues, and then Verstappen and Checo go 1-2 would be pretty sweet. But the only problem with that was it kind of would ruin the driver's championship, because I do want that to be down to the wire. But yeah, Checo Perez, thought he had a really good day. Just an awesome battle with Lewis Hamilton. A quick one, but it was a great battle. And like we kind of already talked about, he did push him over that pit line, and he came back across. I was really nervous there was going to be some kind of penalty involved there. According to Fernando Alonso, there should have been a penalty involved there because of his nationality. But hey, maybe Alonso's not always right. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, a great day for Sergio. Great day for Red Bull. Could have been better, of course, with a 1-2, but I'll take a 2-3. Max Verstappen was in second place. Started in second, finished in second. Kind of on Max Verstappen Island just about all day. The weather was shitty, but I know he had a good time to score 18 points, retake the championship lead. It's a dogfight. It started off this way. It's going to continue to be back and forth. Just getting more and more exciting. What do you think about Verstappen's day?
Yeah, I mean, it was clear that they didn't have the pace to challenge Mercedes in clean air. So had Lewis been able to get maybe past Checo at one point, it would have been an interesting battle with Verstappen had he gotten there. However, they were faster than everybody else other than one guy, as it turned out, and that was Bottas. They didn't really have anything for Bottas to challenge. So Max was kind of on, like you said, Max Island. Just solid race in the wet. You know, managed the tires, the two good pit stops for Red Bull. So they've overcome some of the pit stop gremlins that have been plaguing them in the last couple of races. 2.1 seconds, even with these new rules, is pretty damn impressive. So, yeah, take that, FIA, and your stupid rule. We can still do good pit stops.
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been a much better day for Red Bull, but really, Valtteri Bottas had an absolutely awesome drive. Potentially his last race win as a Mercedes driver. I'm sure he's going to treat it like that. Well, he's celebrating it tonight with a weekend off next weekend. But,
he's been a different guy since he figured out where his future was.
Yeah.
You know, once that hex kind of came off of him and he's like, well, okay, we're going to Alfa Romeo. We're not going to be in Mercedes. I mean, he's driving for himself again. Mm-hmm. Finally, I think for the first time in so many years, he's actually able to drive for himself, put himself number one. And look what happens. You know, I mean, he really realistically should have won the Monza race if it wasn't for the engine penalty. Mm-hmm. Cause he had by far had the best pace. And he was up here, you know, with this race to go from last year where he was literally begging the team, tell me there's less laps left in the race, to the same track 300 some days later to win is huge. So, I mean, well done, Valtteri. For a guy that I've been dogging most of this year, he never takes the risk. Nice pass on Charles Leclerc. Yeah. I think Leclerc realized it wasn't his fight and kind of let it happen. But still, he made the move. He finally made the move, Valtteri.
Exactly.
And look what happens. He got the 25 points. He did get the point for fastest lap. So good call for him. He's basically now made that third place in the drivers almost untenable for Lando. Lando would have to basically have a win, and Valtteri DNF for that to really get tight again.
Yeah, like you said, he got the fastest lap and on the last lap of the race, so that was impressive. From an outside observer, it may have seemed like a little bit of a bland race for him, but I mean, for him in the cockpit, I'm sure it wasn't bland at all. I mean, he had to stay in control of that car the whole way. He had that one little screw up. But other than that, just a perfect race for him. Really impressive to see.
And he had no tire drama.
No.
He had no tire drama.
Yeah. Yeah. He came in when his team wanted to and you know, ended up being the right call for him, right time and everything. Everything kind of, you know, everything fell the right place for him today. And he did everything he had to get the win. So good on him for that. So then we'll move into the recap of the driver standings. So now, like I mentioned, there was a change again at the top. I'll never get sick of saying that because it's awesome that it keeps going back and forth. But Verstappen is back in first place with 262.5 points, with Lewis Hamilton 6 points behind now, 256.5. So a race win, and Lewis Hamilton will be looking good again at COTA. But then we got Bottas in third place with 177, Lando Norris behind him with 145 in fourth. So he's 10 above Sergio Perez in fifth. So that I think Lando can still hold on to fourth there. But if Checo is going to have some more finishes like he had today, then that could change pretty quick. Carlos Sainz now in sixth with 116.5. Charles Leclerc in seventh with 116. Then you got Ricciardo at 95 points in eighth place. Pierre Gasly in ninth place with 74. And Fernando Alonso in 10th place with 58 points. Andy, go ahead, recap the team standings for me, please.
Yep. So in first place is still Mercedes on 433.5 points. Second is Red Bull, inching ever closer at 397.5 points. Third is McLaren on 240 points. Fourth is Ferrari quickly coming up on their heels at 232.5. Fifth is Alpine at 104. Sixth is AlphaTauri at 92. Seven, Aston Martin on 61. Eighth, Williams, the point streak does end, so they stay at 23. Ninth is Alfa Romeo on 7. And in 10th place is still Haas F1 on 0 points.
Yeah, don't anticipate that changing anytime soon for Haas, unfortunately. That's the other thing that we really need Andretti for, is like, I want an American team that's just a little bit more respectable to root for, hopefully.
it's a ready-made thing with the Alfa Romeo. They have facilities. They have a partnership with Ferrari. There's a lot of good things in place at that Alfa Romeo team. And now a number one driver in Valtteri Bottas coming in to mentor whoever is in that second seat. So
yeah,
it's a good investment.
Are we going to be rooting for Bottas next year?
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be weird. Now, here's the thing. What I hope they do is I hope, like, the Haas entry is an American entry. I hope they actually would change the anthem that would get played if Alfa Romeo was somehow, some way, win a race. Would you hear the Star Spangled Banner or would you hear the Swiss national anthem? That, I think, is actually going to be something that they will negotiate.
That's a good point. In this deal. That's actually a really good point. Yeah. I think we're going to get so – well, I know I will get so much crap from our boy Dino down in New Zealand if next year if I'm rooting for Bottas because he's on an American team. Oh, boy. Oh, that's going to be weird. All right, so let's move into our fan email segment. Thanks to everybody who reached out with emails and DMs. We always appreciate hearing from you all. And so first up, we're going to go with Rachel Fleming. She says, in hindsight, will Merck look back on this race and think it was the wrong race to take a Hamilton engine penalty, even if it wasn't as bad as Bottas is in Italy, considering how dominating the Merck was this weekend? Also, was Aston Martin's decision to put Vettel onto the mediums one of the worst pit wall decisions of the year? And then an amendment to the above, apparently it was Vettel's call, but does it still count as one of the worst driver team calls of the year? So I'll break this down into two parts here. I don't think Merck will look back regretting this one. I think it kind of worked out pretty good. Like I said before, they're still within one race victory, even if Verstappen finishes in second place and retaking the lead there. So do you have a disagreement on that part?
No, I mean, you knew it was going to have to get out of the way at some point, and it's a matter of making it hurt the least. Mm-hmm. Max had to go to the back and would have finished in seventh. I mean, this is why that Russia now race looks even weirder mm-hmm. than it really does, because he really should have finished in seventh. He finishes P2, so then there's no damage limitation there. If you're in the Mercedes camp, there's no advantage gain there. Here, this was probably the best answer, and he only took the ICE, the internal combustion penalty. He didn't end up all the way in the back. And then again, it's another thing where you can kind of blame the weather on this, because I think a dry running, he would have chugged through that field, man. It was not even close. They were so far ahead in the practices in the dry tires. Yeah. But Mother Nature had other plans yet again.
Yep. And then for the second part of the question about Vettel's call being one of the worst driver team calls of the year, I don't know. I don't blame him for taking a shot there at the end. I mean, what's he got to lose? As much as I liked and appreciated Lando's decision to stay out, that was probably worse because it cost him his first win. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing to be lost. I didn't think, if Vettel finishes 10th and gets a point, does that really move the needle anywhere? I mean, we just recap the team standings. They're 30 some points behind AlphaTauri. They're probably not going to make their 40 some, the 38 points in front of Williams. Mm-hmm. So, they're really kind of on an island. So what did you have to lose? You had nothing to lose. It didn't work. As we talked about earlier, I thought what it did was it spooked everybody else from trying that maneuver 10 or 15 laps later when it may have meant something.
Yeah.
But that's just how it played out.
Yep. So then we move on to our boy, Dave Doherty, simply says, thoughts on Leclerc. Yeah, I love him. Andy?
solid race today. We hadn't even mentioned this, particularly given the setup that he had chosen, because they had thought that it was not going to be as wet as it was. They thought that it was going to be wet in the morning and then drying throughout the day. So they effectively went with a really low downforce setup. So when you saw really heavier rain hit the circuit, I saw some tweets from people in the know that said, that doesn't look good for Leclerc, but he made it work. So good on him for that in spite of all.
Yeah, he did have a couple of mistakes. Locked up pretty good at one point, and then a little bit later he was kind of losing grip and went off track a little bit there. So two smaller mistakes. And then other than that, he looked pretty good today. And he looks pretty good just about every weekend. Can't beat that smile, but that's for different time. All right, so we'll move on to Chad DePew, who says, Ocon hit the cliff late but ended up okay. It's really hard to say Hamilton had been really hard on the tires earlier in the race. So what do you got on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is basically asking, would it have mattered to Hamilton as much had he left it out until the end? I mean, we only had the one real look at it, and that was Ocon. You saw before Leclerc pitted, his pace had really dropped off. That's when he had the lockups. Yeah. That's when he was going off, all of that. So I think the right call was to pit. It was just you had to give yourself enough time to get those tires to pass the graining period. Mercedes left it too late. That's why Hamilton couldn't move forward.
Very good. All right, so finally we got Matt Polansky, who says, today's race is called, wait, we're having moist turkey again? Lewis Hamilton is at it again, complaining about tires, and nobody cares. This race had everything. Meanwhile, no retirements, new graphics, and a no-con. A no-con is that thing where Ocon doesn't make a pit stop. built on the back of a second wet Turkish Grand Prix, Bate showed that he did learn to ice skate. So thank you, Matt. All right, let's move into the weekly awards. And for that, we start off with the rubbish. And for that, I'll hand it to you, Andy.
Yeah, this is going to go to the FIA or the stewards that thought that it was a good idea to give someone a penalty on lap one, turn one, where he had nowhere to go. The Gasly penalty makes no sense. What are you trying to legislate? Someone tell me what you thought the right thing to do there was. Ah, so frustrating. Bad thing. Rubbish for me.
Me and John both had multiple answers here. He agrees with you on the Gasly penalty. And then he agrees with me on the Leclerc engineer. That's that radio play was just so goofy and stupid. But and then I also had Mazepin for being a piece of shit, but no surprise there. But like also a good point on the Gasly penalty. So I'm just giving out rubbish awards left and right this weekend, obviously. But I can do that because I'm the host of the show, so we can do whatever we want. All right, so analysis paralysis. Got a feeling we're going to be in agreement on this one. John is saying Mercedes for Pitt Lewis when they did. Andy, who you got?
Yeah, this is culpability on both ends. One for Mercedes for not being, again, we said this about McLaren last time, not insistent enough on the pit wall to get their guy in when they knew what was basically working right, and then leaving it too late. That's a combination on both the team and Lewis. And for Lewis, just that when he was told to come in, he just said, okay, I'll come in.
Yeah.
Okay. If it was that much convincing, why did you wait 10 laps to do it? So
well, I think,
analysis paralysis as defined.
I think Jensen Button nailed it on the broadcast, which I loved him on the broadcast today. I usually am a fan of his, but
more of him.
I really enjoyed him on the broadcast, which we've never actually talked about where
Brundle's been. Well, I don't think he does most of the flyaways. Well, you also got to remember the guy's in his late 70s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, getting on a plane, going into a COVID guaranteed environment is tough for him.
Yeah, I just feel like it's something that hasn't been talked about. He just hasn't been around. But I have been a big fan of Jensen Button, and it really showed today. But he mentioned it when he pitted. He's like, I don't know if Lewis realized he's going to lose places when this happens. He's like, he was way too agreeable when they told him to pit. Which is like you just said, he's like, yeah, okay, I'll be right there. And then he came out, and I think it took a while, but then he finally realized, he's like, wait, why did we do that?
Well, at one point, he had even asked, he goes, well, where am I in this? And he's like, well, you're P5. And it's like, why did you call me in then?
Oh, classic. But then for my analysis paralysis, I just put, because I agree. Mercedes fucked it up. And I love it. I love when they're the analysis.
And again, under pressure in a championship battle, these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they get magnified because one of the battle and two because it's Mercedes. And I love it. All right, so dark horse of the day. Nothing from John here, but I think he'd agree with us. Carlos Sainz, who else would it be?
Yeah, no, totally agreed. Very strong, ridiculous good overtakes on a track that looked harder to overtake than we thought. So Carlos Sainz, dark horse for sure.
Yeah, I hate giving dark horse awards to Ferrari just because of the meaning of it, but I got to give him this one because I don't know how I'd give anybody the driver of the day besides Valtteri Bottas. I can probably count on one hand since we started this show how many times I've given Bottas driver of the day, but he definitely earned it today. I think you'd agree with that.
Yep. This was a classic Bottas race. Smooth as silk, no mistakes. Basically won it from pole to flag, razor lights to flag. So well done, Valtteri, today, driver of the day.
Yeah. See, I'm already like, in my head, I'm already like trying to convince myself why it's going to be okay to root for Bottas. Cause it's like, you know what? He's going to be on a team with like low expectations and he can just kind of do his thing and not have so much pressure. It's like, oh God, I'm so sick and twisted in my brain that I'm just like already getting ready for this, but hey, it is what it is. USA, baby. All right. So please recap the race prediction segment. I'll get to it in a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how we managed to do this, but we've done it again. We tied last race with all ones. This week, we tied with all twos. So I scored 2 points because I got my Kimi Räikkönen bonus pick and the prop bet of where did Carlos Sainz going to finish. He finished eighth, so I got the point for the prop bet. James, you got, due to the Price is Right strategy, the race fastest lap, of which John did not come over the top of you for. So because it was wet, therefore you had the slowest lap time, so you'll get the point there. Mm-hmm. And then you also got one of the bonus picks. John did come over the top of you for the qualifying time post. We did mention when he was going to do it. He literally did the 120, whatever it was, 0.002 mm-hmm. For that.
Just so for the record, get that. For the record, I will be visiting the Stewarts, and this is officially under protest. I cannot believe he did that to me.
Well, the only nonpartisan person who's not here would be Deanna. So maybe we'll let her. Her and I will then, you know, retire to the ante room, and we'll figure out what we're going to do.
Tell me she's going to take John's side, because this would allow me to side. But call me crazy.
Well, that's why I'm in the room, too. So, you know, maybe. John also did get a bonus pick. I think it was Lance Stroll in P9 for him. Deanna also scores two. She had one for the race podium. She had Checo in third. And she got, on this bet, the Carlos Sainz not finishing in seventh, but rather eighth. So she gets the 1 point for the prop bet for her hedge. Well done on making reality now.
Yeah.
And then to your win.
At one point there, all I needed was Bottas to have an off and drop out of first place, and I would have nailed the podium. But didn't work out that way. Oh, well.
So everybody moves up 2 points, so we end up with the same gaps that we came into this with. John is at 47. I'm at 40. Deanna is at 35. And James, you're still 1 point behind with 34.
Yeah. I'm in striking distance, I guess.
Yep.
I'll say that.
You're in the ballpark.
Technically, I could probably catch you.
Yeah, you could.
I don't know if I'm going to catch John. Maybe. If he keeps prices right at me, I'll no shot. But we'll see how the rest of the season plays out.
Well, my strategy of thinking it was going to be faster, it was significantly faster, but I was way too fast on my lap time. Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy, it's been probably under an hour. This is a very fast review episode. Our attention's been probably like 70-30 on podcast and playoff game.
Well, the game has actually sort of calmed down, and we've actually gotten some innings.
Yeah, it's still only the seventh, though.
I know. So I'm going to work on rendering the audio next and maybe getting this thing posted by the time the game ends.
It's been 3.5 hours, and it is one out in the top of the seventh. This is
yep.
crazy. Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, an epic weekend of sports and an excellent race. Just another good race in the season that is 2021 in F1. I am so excited. I've got a nice little trip in Arkansas next weekend, and then after that, it is time for COTA, Andy. How pumped
yes,
are you?
Yes, it is. Oh, my God, I am ridiculously pumped up. I can't wait to go down and just to see all of the familiar in Austin again, mm-hmm. see how the town has changed, get me some of the barbecue at my local spot that I know of. You know, Rudy's, I'm coming down again, mm-hmm. Buying a whole ton of food for no good reason, just because it's there. But seeing everybody and getting to meet some people who we interact with, a chance to do that is going to be great. I don't know who's all traveling in, at least from our group, when. I may have to do the prediction or the preview actually remote because I'll probably be in my hotel because I'm flying in Wednesday. I'm getting in relatively early in the week to kind of get set up shop and know things around.
Actually,
but we'll figure it all out.
Yeah, actually, I haven't even thought of that, but I think everybody else is coming in. I know I'm coming in Friday morning. I want to say Deanna's the same. I don't know about John. He just kind of appears places sometimes. but yeah, we'll definitely get a preview episode out there. You know, make sure you're subscribed to our Instagram and our Twitter. We'll probably be doing some videos and stuff while we're walking around the track for free practice sessions and the W Series races. And what's the other feature? Or no, that's going to be it, right? Just W Series?
No, that's it. It's two rounds of the W Series. There may be – I know there's USF4 was also slated to be there. So we'll get a support – we'll get enough support races.
Will there be like the classic cars and stuff too?
That I don't know.
Oh, I hope so.
That I don't know. I haven't seen that.
I hope so, because that's the loudest part of the weekend, and it's so fun.
And you can... No, it's great to see, like, the old Heskets from 1974. Yeah. And
so you can get right up to the track then, because, like, most people aren't there at that time, and it's so loud.
Yeah, that paddock, they welcome you into that paddock, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm pumped. Austin is a great, great city. A lot of fun, and then when you add an F1 race to it, it's pretty epic, so... yeah, I mean, as you said, hopefully we can meet some of these listeners out there. So make sure you hit us up in the DMs, let us know where you're going to be. And hope to see you out there. But I think that's it for tonight, Andy. Good episode as always. Good talking to you and,
Yep.
I think that's all I got.
Yep. And as always, folks, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.